ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
And on Fridays, we welcome political humorist and satirist. You can find him at AnEveningWithThePresident.com, U of I alum Bill Melberg. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, ESPN Radio and Sunny listeners.
Hey, Bill, with your permission, I'd like to do something that we haven't done in a very long time. I'd like you to answer some of the questions we receive each week in our listener mailbag. And, Bill, if you don't mind, Diane and I would like to read some of the questions that have been addressed to you specifically.
Stevie and Diane, I would be honored and humbled to answer some of the questions from our fine listeners.
All right, terrific. We'll get to the first question right after we hear our listener mailbag theme song. Diane with the first question from our listener mailbag addressed to Bill Melberg.
Dear Bill, during the past few weeks, I've heard you mention low information voters several times. What is a low information voter? Signed, Just Asking in Urbana.
Diane, the term low information voter has been around for at least 20 years. It refers to people who vote but who don't really follow the issues very carefully or who don't know much about the candidates. Consequently, they might vote for someone because they like the way he or she looks, or because they think he or she is cool, or because all they know about the candidates is based on what they hear in negative campaign ads, which, of course, is why negative campaign ads are so effective. And I hope that answers the question.
All right, Bill, here's another question. This one's a little more personal. Bill, are you a Republican or a Democrat? Just when I'm convinced you're a Republican because you make fun of Democrats, you start making fun of Republicans, and I think you're a Democrat. One minute you're imitating Barack Obama. The next minute you're imitating George Bush. One moment you're taking John McCain's side. The next moment you're taking Barney Frank's side. So which is it? Signed, Confused in Tuscola.
Stevie, that's a question I've heard many times over the years, and every time I hear it, I know I'm doing my job as a political humorist, because I think my job is to poke good-natured fun at both sides of the aisle, which is why we always try to include Republican and Democrat representatives in our humor each week. For example, we have our point-counterpoint segments with John McCain, my friend, and Barney Frank. As for how I vote on election day, well, I consider myself a high information voter, and I know that neither party has a monopoly on virtue, and both parties have their share of bums. So I always try to vote for the best candidates or for the lesser of two evils.
Here's a three-letter word question from our listener in Tolono. What's your sign?
Why don't we let the fifth dimension answer that one?
Leo?
The next question.
All right, Lou in Champaign asked, Bill, Governor Christie of New Jersey is a man who obviously loves food. Michelle Obama tells us to watch what we eat. Mayor Bloomberg has tried to control what people eat and drink. With all of this emphasis on food, do you have any favorite foods? And if so, can you name some of them for us?
Lou, you might think that I sound a little goofy, but here are some of my favorite foods.
Hey, look! Turkey, lobster, sweet potato pie, lamb cakes piled up till they reach the sky. I want to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until I die. Turkey, lobster, sweet potato pie. Pancakes piled up till they reach the sky. Lots of scorches, lots of greens. Fancy chocolate covered.
Beans!
What do you mean, beans?
Yeah, fellas, I sold the cow for some magic beans.
Actually, you know, that sounds like it should be Governor Christie's theme song. But if I had to choose just one favorite food, I think I'd agree with Popeye the Sailor's good friend, J. Wellington Wimpy. And here he is.
There's nothing in the world that can compare with a hamburger, juicy and rare. A hamburger lives for the pleasure it gives. It's a thrill on the bill of fare. Such heavenly food deserves the best. A home and contentment beneath my vest. There's nothing in the world that's so divine as a hamburger, tender and fine. I adore you, hamburger mine.
Munching hamburgers again, huh?
Bill, our next question sort of ties with that last clip of Wimpy, and it's also a little more relevant to your talents as an impressionist. It comes from one of our Illinois alumni internet listeners in Chicago who writes, I've heard you say that your very first impersonation you did as a kid was of Popeye the Sailor. How many characters can you impersonate? And who are some of the characters we don't usually hear you impersonating on Friday mornings?
Ah, well, that's another very good question. And, of course, our listeners hear me impersonating some of our politicians each week, characters such as Barack Obama, our president, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Diane, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and our point-counterpoint team, who we've already mentioned, of John McCain, my friends, and Barney Frank. So there's 10 voices. You've also heard me doing Al Gore talking about global warming. Bob Dole sounding like a grumpy old man. Ross Perot sounding a little bit crazy. Former Senator Joe Lieberman sounding very tired. Former Governor George Ryan also sounding like a grumpy old man. Richie Daley, the former mayor of Chicago. And Dr. Henry Kissinger, the former Secretary of State, sounding very, 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 very boring. So that's another 7 voices, bringing us to 17, plus some radio and television personalities such as the late Andy Rooney. Have you ever wondered, why do they always pick the Popes from the Cardinals? Why never the Cubs or the Padres? The late Paul Harvey. Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Page 2. The late Howard Cosell. Hello again, everyone. This is Howard Cosell speaking of sports. The late, great Harry Carey. Hey, how do you say Carl Yastrzemski backwards? Holy cow! The late astronomer, Dr. Carl Sagan, who produced the Cosmos series where he talked about billions and billions of stars. The late William F. Buckley Jr., who was a conservative writer and commentator. The late Johnny Carson, who was the star of The Tonight Show for many years. The late Julia Child, who starred in her own marvelous program about French cooking, Bon Appetit. The late Rodney Dangerfield. And let me tell you, Rodney got no respect. And, of course, the late Ed Sullivan, who had a really big variety show on Sunday nights featuring guests such as the Beatles, Elvis, and our little Italian mouse puppet friend, Topo Gigio. Hello, Eddie. Eddie, won't you kiss me goodnight? So there's another 11 voices bringing us to 28.
Well, you seem to have a lot of late characters in your repertoire.
That's why I sometimes call my act the Dead Sullivan Show, since it features so so many dead characters. Of course, many of the characters are basically unknown to younger people today, but their voices are still unique, which is why I try to include them in our programs.
For instance?
Well, for instance, voices like old actors such as Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, Bela Lugosi, Peter Lorre, Boris Karloff, James Mason, Cary Grant, W.C. Fields, Jack Benny, Johnny Cash, Don Adams, Ted Knight, plus some of the characters we hear from old television shows such as Werner Klemperer, who played Colonel Klink on Hogan's Heroes, and Leon Askin, who played General Burkhalter, the big Nazi general on Hogan's Heroes.
Well, that's 14 more. That brings you to 42 voices. I know you actually do about double that number, but we'll have to hear the rest of your repertoire with some other time since we've run out of time for the segment. However, since you mentioned Hogan's Heroes, I know you have a personal story about Bob Crane, the star of Hogan's Heroes, who you had dinner with right here in beautiful Champaign, Urbana.
Mm.
Yeah, when we come back, we will hear more about the Bill Melberg story and Bob Crane. We will do that coming up in just a few moments. ESPNCU.com is where you can stream the show every week. And, of course, on the radio, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny, 95.3. All right, we're back with political humorist Bill Melberg, Diane Ducey. Bill, just before the break, you did your impersonations of Colonel Klink and General Burkhalter. Yeah, from the old Hogan's Heroes show. Now, Hogan's Heroes was a hit comedy series about a group of Allied prisoners in a German POW camp during World War II. It's still seen in reruns. And I know that you met Bob Crane, the star of the show, while you were a student at the University of Illinois. But before you tell us the story, let's hear this clip from Hogan's Hero featuring the voices of General Burkhalter and Sergeant Schultz, Colonel Hogan, and Major Hockstetter. Hogan's Heroes.
Do nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing. And above all, I know nothing.
I just want to ask you a few questions, Sergeant Schultz.
Forgive me, sir. Private Schultz.
Private? Back to private? When did this happen?
Shortly after I fell through the colonel's bedroom door. Very shortly.
Now, Schultz, you didn't take my little joke seriously, did you?
You fell through the bedroom door?
In the line of duty, sir.
George, our time is short. I wish I could play the whole thing, but tell me about your Bob Crane story. This is amazing.
Well, very quickly, Stevie, Bob Crane, who played Colonel Hogan, the American, was being interviewed on a program at WILL-TV, our local PBS station, and a friend of mine who was a radio and television major happened to be working on the set that day, so he invited me to watch the show being taped, and since I was a Hogan's Heroes fan, I was very happy to accept. What I did not know is that I was going to be an audience of one. There were no other guests in the studio, and I got into a little trouble with the director and the producer because I laughed at everything Bob Crane said, and the microphones kept picking up my cackling. But Bob Crane thought it was great, especially since nobody else was laughing. So to make a long story short, he invited me and my friend to join him for dinner after the show, and we had a great time, a fun conversation with yours truly, making Bob laugh with my impersonations of Colonel Klink and General Burkhalter.
That's awesome. Bill, thanks so much for your time and talent, my friend. That's a great story. Diane,
thank you, Oscar. Wow.
Thank you, Diane. I'm Stevie J. Have a great weekend.